All right, good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are going to start our sequence over with buyer education, conference call number one, day in the life of a top producer. This is a kickoff to our series where we're going to be discussing really how to set up your business for success when working with buyers. And so I'm taking a lot of the information that I've gleaned from other top producers as well as myself. I was a top buyer's agent at one time, and you will get to hear some of the ideas that I did when I was working with leads and referrals and working on a team of top producers and getting some good ideas for planning for your success. So we will record the call, so if there's some things that you miss on the call, if you want to, you know, fast forward or listen to the call at a later time, that's perfectly fine. And we will end a little bit before 6 o'clock, so we'll be out and you can be on your way. For planning to be a top producer, being a top producer doesn't just happen. Many agents have asked me, Rochelle, what can I do? How do I set myself up? What are the typical numbers? Where do I go? What kind of resources do you use? What are some things that I should consider when I set up my schedule? These are the things we're going to discuss tonight. But it doesn't just happen overnight. Just because you got your real estate license and you passed your real estate exam, that doesn't automatically set you up for success. What it does is show that you can pass a test. So there are some simple things that you can do to plan. Most brokers I talk to make the mistake early in their career, and they hopefully you aren't continuing to make the same mistake. Perhaps you are, and that, if that's the case, you know, I'm glad you're on this call. But the most common mistake they make is not having everybody understand that they have a schedule that's flexible. But yet, even though the schedule is flexible because you're in your important people in your life know that just because you're a real estate broker and have a flexible schedule, that still means that you have to block out time for prospecting. Once you figure that part out in your business and block out that time to actually work real estate and do real estate during those times, that's the time when you're going to have the most success. If you try to just kind of go with the flow, which most agents will start off doing, they'll find that they have little to no success. They may end up doing 3 or 4 transactions in the year, and they might think that's good enough. But by building a schedule or planning for success and using some of the things I'm going to talk to you guys about tonight, you'll automatically see your business improve, and the amount of connections and relationships that you find will more than double what you probably are currently doing. Some prefer to work in the morning. Some prefer to work in the afternoon. Some people are best in the evenings. And that's what I love most about this business is because it is flexible, and you can make a six-figure income or even more by working a schedule that makes sense for you. So, you know, there isn't one top producer. In order to be a top producer, you have to work every morning and get up at, you know, 8 o'clock and start your business at 8 o'clock. There really isn't a proven strategy as far as the timing goes because real estate is flexible. I've had times where I've had young children, a baby, where I was prospecting and I had to block out certain evenings to make my phone calls rather than the mornings because of the schedule that we had with the baby. So whatever it may be, there isn't one, you know, well, Rochelle, I'm having so many health concerns. It's really hard for me to get up in the morning, or, you know, I want to spend time with my wife because she got home at a certain time in the evening. You can block that out. Don't feel like you can't be a top producer because you have these distractions or complications. It takes planning, but it can be done very well if you can help sit down and come up with a calendar and a schedule that works for your typical real estate life. You want to also consider your personal time versus real estate time, and make sure that the expectations are set from the get-go. My husband and I would sit together on a Sunday evening and plan out our week, and part of that planning session would be, hey, we've got this vacation scheduled, or we were to go do a run on a Wednesday morning. You know, whatever that may be, make sure you schedule that personal time, that unmovable, time that needs to be spent with your family, friends, or other commitments, make sure that's locked in on your calendar. And then what I would do with your real estate clients is let them know that you're really busy during that time and that you've already got another appointment at that time, and work it around that unmovable, fixed schedule. Now, if you have too many fixed things where it encompasses more over than 50% of your time, that becomes extremely challenging and your business will suffer because of that. But there's certainly time every week that you could carve out to either spend quality time with family, schedule time to go on a little getaway on a weekend, or maybe even midweek. Some of you have not taken time off for yourself, and you may need to carve that time out on your schedule and work around that. So that's the first thing that we would do every week is, you know, what kind of personal commitments did we make? Was there an appointment? You know, Eric was on the Homeowners Association board at one time, and so, you know, I obviously had to watch the two kids when he was doing that, and so that was on the calendar, and we had to work around that with my real estate appointments that were set. So make sure that both sides complement each other, that you have blocked out time for personal time and you have blocked out time for real estate prospecting. List out your responsibilities. You can use the, we're going to go through how I set up my success steps tracker, but you may have some different responsibilities or different things that need to be done, not only in your real estate business, but also in your personal part of your life. Make sure you list those things out so that you can find success and you can have happiness in your life, and you don't feel like you're always working, that you have time for fun as well. When you set up your visit your home and your virtual office, you do want to consider your location, and you want to think about where you are doing your best work. Right now, tonight, when I'm doing this conference call, I'm actually sitting in my car, and I'm in a quiet location. I don't have the distractions of, you know, kids running around or dogs barking in the background. I can have the time to make this conference call work for you guys. So I set this time on my schedule. I've been doing this conference call sequence for over 2 years now, and it is blocking the time out and considering the location. That's very important in setting up structure and setting up success for consistently producing at this level or doing a conference call or meeting with a client or having good success on the phone with your prospecting. You do need to consider the location and the timing of when you're doing those particular activities. You also want to consider the tools. If there are some tools that will ultimately help your business, for example, if you know you're struggling with the computer takes too long to upload and work on the internet, you know, you may want to consider upgrading your computer. I worked on the same laptop for many, many years. I think approximately 5 or 6 years, and I didn't realize how much more efficient I was when I was able to upgrade my laptop and get something that was faster processing, worked better with the internet, wasn't so clunky on the system, and I was able to produce and get to my website so much faster by having that new computer. If that's what it takes for you to be successful, you may want to also consider your tools. The tools of the trade, or upgrading certain things at periods of time in your business. Even your vehicle, even your having some goals like that after I sell this many homes or I list this many houses, that I'll be able to buy this or buy that for my business, and that is part of your business planning. So tools also become essential when you're planning or setting up your home or virtual office. There is a bin for the car that I have that I'm happy to send you as well that I had as a buyer's agent. You as a new agent perhaps to the business may not understand how many tools you actually need inside your vehicle. I have a backpack now that has all of the tools that I would need. It's kind of like my emergency pack that also has, you know, when I'm wearing heels for business, it's nice to have some grubby shoes that I could put on or some boots that I have, you know, to go walk. We're going into the fall season where it becomes very muddy And when you're selling new construction or you're touring some vacant land or you're kind of in an area where you're wanting to show the property but not wear heels, it might be smart to have that in your car. So that's one of the many items that I have on my special checklist of bin for the car. If you want me to send that to you, just send me a quick email tonight, and I'll be happy to respond with that list of items that you may want to consider. Have that readily accessible. Refresh it every month if you need to, if you've taken things out of your bin or you've taken things out. I mean, I use something in my car. I had Windex I needed for one of my listings, and I thought, oh, no, I have to go back to my home office. I've got to get the Windex and got to go back over. No, I don't. It's in my bin for the car. It's in my backpack, my survival kit. And I actually had a little thing of Windex and some paper towel, and all of a sudden I had some windows cleaned for my listing that just didn't get on the to-do list. And that way the photographer, when he was taking the pictures, that didn't come up in the pictures. I was able to take care of that issue. So there's things like that that will really help your business so that you're not, say, going home or driving here or driving there. Maybe you have a little, you know, one of the things I have on my bin for the car was, you know, some little, what's it called? Those little, they're little candy things that they're called Pez, and they pop up, and it's cute. It serves as a couple functions, you know, candy for little children, and also, you know, it's a little toy that they can play with. That little Pez thing has come in handy in many, many occasions. Where I'm dealing with young families that have children, and they're like, wow, you know, my real estate agent, you know, gave my kids even a little gift as we were touring properties. But it kind of was important because I need to establish and set some ground rules with the children. And so, you know, you can call yourself Mary Poppins if you want, but you do need some tools in your tool belt or your kit in your car for those times when you're showing properties where you need some things like that. Jumping into starting your day or building or preparing for success, I'm going to talk about Dunbar's numbers. A lot of people ask me, you know, Rochelle, I want to really produce. You know, I'm not looking to just do this part-time. I'm really wanting to produce, you know, at least a deal a month. But ideally, I'd like to do two, maybe three sales in a month. How did you do that when you started in real estate, and what kind of system did you use to set yourself up for that type of success? And it really stemmed from a coach that I had paid a lot of money for, and he illustrated a very simple fact about Dunbar's numbers. And Dunbar was a scientist, and so it's a very scientific method that you apply to real estate, which is really not scientific, but it does work. The numbers work. You build your 150 list. When I interviewed many different real estate brokerages, one of the brokerages I interviewed that utilized Dunbar's numbers, Gary Keller talks about it in his books, but there's Dunbar's numbers, which is building your 150 list. I interviewed with a Keller Williams managing broker, I think a team leader as well, and she, at a very early age, told me, Rochelle, you know, do you have a list of 100 people? And I thought to myself, you know, I was very young. I was, I think, 20 at the time, and I didn't have a list of 150 people. But as I started to learn about real estate and realize what this managing broker was saying, it does work. When you have a list of 150 people, people that you have influence over or you've worked with, then you want to look into your phone. I thought, well, I don't have 150 people. You do. You have 150 people that you know and that you have influence over, or that you've purchased things from, or that you have contracted with, or that you have encountered in your daily travels or in your lifetime. There is 150 people that are in your cell phone. I'm sure you have more than 150 contacts in your cell phone if you're a real estate agent, or that you can easily build that list by looking at your cell phone. But looking at your cell phone, your calendar, maybe your past database from your other brokerage that you worked with. Maybe you use, you know, there's a company called Memory Jogger. There are these tools that you can use to find out who your influencers are in your business, or who's your circle of influence? Who is your sphere? If you don't know that, or you're looking at your Facebook, you know, list of friends, and you think to yourself, could those people be in my list of 150? Dunbar's numbers say that you will know, every person knows 150 people. And after my research, after kind of feeling frustrated as a 20-year-old going to Keller Williams and wondering, I don't have a list of 150 people, once I spoke with a coach and I understood that I do have 150 people based on Dunbar's numbers, and that the mobility rate, meaning that people move every 5 years, that 20% of the people in your 150 list probably know people that are moving. And if you times that 20% by 150, 30 people are going to be moving in this year, so in the next 12 months. So potentially, and 30 people, obviously, if they're moving, there's also 30 people that need to sell. So potentially you have the ability to influence, to be a part of 60 buyer or seller transactions in a year. And then that just turned into an aha moment for me. If there are 150 people that I know, or that they know 20% of people who are moving in the next 5 years, and if you times that by 20%, 150 times 20, and it comes out to be 30, and that could be doubled because I have an influence or I have experience in working with buyers and sellers now, that's pretty impactful. That is something to go after. And it's not difficult, and it doesn't cost me a lot of money. It takes time. And it takes blocking out time in order to make that happen. And once I uncovered that number and understood that I could start with numbers, that that's my goal, that I wanted to do 30 transactions. That was what I set up with my coach very early on in my real estate career. And in order to do that, I had to start with that number. I needed to know how many transactions that I wanted to do in a year. And then I worked backwards from that number. So we built a plan based on that mobility rate and about that many transactions that I could have an impact on. Now, within looking at that 150 list, my coach made me pointed out that each month I would need to adjust that 150 list, because what happens sometimes with a big database, and my database grew and grew exponentially because I was also purchasing, you know, leads and buying leads from Zillow, and also adding to my list and growing that list as I grew in age. But what he made me do was focus on always having a list of 150 people and adjusting that every month, so that there will be people that I will engage with, and there will be champions, people that I really want to make sure they have my business cards, and I want them to know that I'm in real estate, but that I will need to prioritize my list of 150 people. I may prioritize my list with A, you know, so I have my A people, my B people, and my C people, but that mobility or that 150 list, every month, refine it, make it better, bring more people into your A category, and maybe cycle more people in and replace them if people are not interested in moving or selling or sending me referrals. Take that person out. So maybe I don't have 150. Maybe I'm down to 145. But in the period of a month, I will be adding to my list of 150 every single month. And that constant change every single month would bring me more results. Every month we would discuss that, as my coach and I would have a conversation about how many people I added into my 150 list and how many people I moved out of my 150 list. So we know that Dunbar's numbers, that you only really remember or have memory of 150 people. It's definitely harder when you have over 150 people to remember every little thing about their situation, about their family, their occupation, their relationships, what they're looking to do, what their dreams or their aspirations are. It's a lot harder when you get 300, 400, 500, 1,000 people in your database. You do need to segment your database if you have more than that and really find out who are those 150 influencers in your database and work those people more than you probably work those people that were just like a lead with a name and a phone number. Okay, there are other ways to connect with those people. Once you have that database cleaned up, you want to look at how are you communicating with them. Are you texting them? Are you calling them? Are you emailing them? Are you sending them messages on Facebook? How are you communicating? And when I say communicating, how are you prospecting? That name, that term kind of freaks people out when you say prospecting. How are you communicating with them? That seems a little easier. You know, you communicate with people a lot, you know, either by text or by email. Back in the day when I started in real estate, texting was not even a thing. So I would be sending out lots of emails and I would be doing lots of phone calls. But I first had to sit down with my list of 150 and identify for my coach how many contacts I was going to be doing, how I would be communicating with that list of 150 on a regular basis, meaning how frequent, how many per week, how many per month. We're going to talk about some strategies in the coming weeks about how to prospect and what to say, but you do need to look at your list of 150 and block out time to make phone calls, to prospect via email, by text, by SlideDial, and we're going to go through some of the success steps tracker. One of the things that I was very weak at that my coach identified, and many real estate brokers are weak at this, you may not know that you are, but you probably are. It's called, there's a little bit of resistance because you're either at a new brokerage, you're at a new real estate firm, or you have wanting to take your business to another level, or you have some sort of desire to make your business better. And because of that, you will need to spend some more time on the phone. So if you have, I've never, you know, had a complaint of you're calling too much. You know, I'd welcome the chance for an agent to tell me that they're calling too much. There are very rare times where that occurs. Maybe one or two real estate brokers in our brokerage firm of around 230, would I ever say that they're calling too much? That's not very good. What we do want to have is more calls being made to talk about their real estate, you know, goals for next year. This is a perfect time to reach out and call your database and sort through that list of 500 or 200 to find out who are your 150 influencers in your database or your sphere of influence. Block out some time throughout the week, and I encourage you to block out time to maybe call. Here's how I did it. I blocked out time to call my top 25 on Mondays, my status calls on Tuesdays, my database calls on Wednesdays, my active clients on Thursdays, and my local business people on Fridays. And I blocked out time for each day to make those types of phone calls. Again, my top 25 on Monday, my status or my follow-up calls on Tuesday, my database, just random A, B, C, D, E, F, G kind of database on Wednesday, my active clients on Thursday, and my local business people on Friday. And I made that a point, and that was a very big rhythm and a turning point for my real estate phone calls because I was actually focused during that phone session on what my objective would be, what my goals were going to be for that particular power hour. And I called it power hour, and I would block out that hour, and I would make those calls each day. And I got in a very good systematic, rhythmic power hour type of mindset where my coach was very pleased with my results, and I easily hit the two sales. In fact, I was producing at that level, I was producing more like a 3 or 4 sales a month because I was blocking out time to call. So challenge yourself. If you do not have a good time to call, maybe you need to get in a more consistent habit of making those phone calls, and that's what it took for me to be more comfortable on the phone and be more consistent with my business. Once I got done with doing power hour calls and I proved to my coach that I could do that, then I was able to become more systematic where I would only have to prospect. I still prospected 6 hours a week in order to hit my goals of having 30 sales in a year. I had to prospect 6 hours a week. I'm going to say that one more time, 6 hours a week. It was 6 hours a week. Sometimes I was having to do it 1 hour a day, but I got to the habit where I could do two, and then another two at another time, so 3 days a week. But I would do longer sessions. But once I got the consistency down and I saw results, then my coach allowed me to be more flexible with what days I was doing my phone calls, and then became more of a weekly goal rather than a daily goal. So with the success steps track, I can't say it, Success Steps Tracker, you will find that you'll have a column for daily goals or weekly goals. My coach was able to get me on a daily schedule and getting me consistent by working some daily things, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But once I was able to meet my daily goals and I was able to reward myself with the flexible schedule, and then what we did is we did a more of a weekly schedule where I would come up with how many face-to-face meetings, how many coffee meetings, and how many lunch meetings or showings did I have to go on in order to hit my goals. And we would block that out, you know, on a weekly rather than a daily kind of situation. Then as far as calls went, I changed my calls. So I, you know, instead of daily calls, I would do how many awesome phone calls am I going to make? I'm going to set out and try to make 60 phone calls in a week. And I wrote that down as my goal. And then I would make little hash marks on my Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday when I made those phone calls, or put the total so that we could total it out at the end of the week, and then obviously have some notes or, you know, areas where I could improve. You know, on Tuesday I had some distractions. I may make some notes on that section for the week so that my coach could then help me through and give me some help on how to increase that or how to become better at the awesome phone calls. Awesome seminars. You know, I did do some seminars in my career, and, you know, sometimes that number was zero, but sometimes that was one of the things that I did to be successful, is I'd have a buyer seminar or a client appreciation event. If that would be your weekly goal or that's how you have success in generating leads or adding to your database or your sphere of influence, then certainly add that to your weekly goal or your monthly goal, is having some seminars or some consultations or things like that nature. Every week you should be doing things that are real estate related. Handwritten notes. This is one thing that I did not include early on in my career, and I wish I would have, because we do have very good success when our agents do these handwritten notes. My coach expressed that, you know, handwritten notes are sometimes, you'd think they're old-fashioned, but they actually have a very big impact right now when you do them right. So out of your 150 list, you may want to find out and handwrite 5 notes every single day for 5 days a week. So I did 25 handwritten notes a week. So that worked out to be 100 personal notes. And I had to budget for that as well, because stamps are approximately 50 cents. So I put a personal stamp, handwritten note, handwritten envelope, send that out 5 every single day. So that would be 100 a month that I would do. And the kind of gratitude, the thankfulness, the follow-up, recognizing a birthday, following up on an inquiry, or just saying hi went a very long way. It had a very big impact on my sphere of influence. When you talk with top producers and they say, how did you find that? How did you get that appointment? How did you connect with that particular buyer or that seller? I just talked with Cheryl McLaren. She's one of our top producers. I asked her, I said, how did you get that listing appointment? It was a part of my sphere. Somebody in this Knights of the Round Table, they referred me to this person. She wouldn't have got that, though, if she hadn't had done a thank you card and thanked that particular client. It was like a close client that referred somebody to her. It was that personal touch. It was that thanking, that handwritten thank you note that was sent that got that client to go onto this special, you know, blog site that of a club that they belong to recommend Cheryl. There was over 20, I think she told me, 20 recommendations on this Facebook, you know, group site that this particular client was on. And because Cheryl had taken the time to do that personal touch, that thank you note with that close client, she got waited on that list of 20. They didn't even interview other people. She was the only person that they interviewed, and she ended up getting that listing because of that. So handwritten notes, I can't say enough or emphasize enough how important it is to go back to some of the basics of gratitude, thankfulness, follow-up, birthday, inquiry, just say hi, type of handwritten note that goes out from you to your clients or your list of 150. It makes an impact. Even if you have sent out for an entire month, you've done that type of 100. I would be shocked if you came back and told me, Rochelle, I've sent out 100 handwritten notes and didn't get anything from it. No inquiry, no expression of gratitude. That's how business is done. People work with people they like and they trust. Also, evidence of success letters has worked. It has worked when our agents have posted, you know, congratulations, I'm so excited to help work with one of my clients. There's a picture of them in their house holding a gift basket that you gave them or something of that sort, and that's posted on Facebook or on social media. If that's done once a month, that's huge. That goes a long way, and it shows the rest of your clients, even if they're not in your 150 list, that you're an active real estate agent that cares about people. So you may want to add that to your once a month or weekly goal, is that you're posting a social media post that's real estate related every week. That's not too much, especially if you're posting or you're posting more of a daily thing. If you did a real estate post once a week and you're posting every single day something that you're doing or something unique or something that you like, and you post a real estate thing once a week, that's not too much. That ratio works out. However, if you're not posting every day on social media, don't post every week. You may want to do a real estate post once a month if you're posting personally once a week. So that ratio needs to be adjusted depending on how frequently you do social media posts. Social media is one of my accountability steps tracker, and so you could put, for me, it was one post a week and 6 education hours. You know, I want to be spending time learning about things that I don't know, and so I blocked out 6 hours for education and 6 hours for prospecting. So I had a very good balance of prospecting and also learning. I wanted to make sure that I was staying on top of the latest and greatest trends or learning something that I didn't know or reading a book about real estate, about how to do something that I did not know how to do, or watching a video on the Northwest MLS on how to use Transaction Desk better or learn a different skill on that type of thing. It keeps your mind fresh. It keeps your clients, they know that you're working with a knowledgeable real estate broker. That's one of the top things they look for. So if you're spending the same amount of time, this is my plug for prospecting, the same amount of time prospecting as you do learning, you will come across as a very knowledgeable, experienced real estate broker, which ultimately is what we want at Best Choice Realty. I also put in my success steps tracker. Wow, it's a tongue twister. Social media likes and reviews on my Facebook page or on my Zillow reviews. I had to motivate myself to ask people for reviews. So I wanted one a week, I wanted 5 likes on my business page a week, and I wanted to post one social media post that was real estate related once a week. And that was also on my success steps tracker. I also did 30 emails a week, I did 30 slide dials or voicemails a week, and I added leads. I added 5 to my 150 list every week based on my phone calls. I would add people to my 150 list. So ultimately, as I cycled people out of my 150 list, I would cycle new people in. And so there was always fresh people. There was approximately 20 people that my coach and I would go through every single month and determine were these people, you know, the type of people that I want to add to my 150 list, or were these people not people that we wanted to cycle out. And we would have that conversation on a monthly basis. And then I was basically trained not to have to work with a coach, but I had the focus and the desire and the motivation, and I saw results from the efforts we put into the success steps tracker. I had an accountability partner. I had a coach. I've used my broker at times. I have used other real estate brokers at times to keep myself focused on the real estate business at hand. But if you write down your goals and what you're looking to do, you will find success. And if you use the right tools, I used tools like Slide Broadcast, Slide Dial, Mojo Dialer, CallFire. I've used devices or things like that to keep me focused on the business at hand, or to keep me focused on making my contacts and doing my prospecting, and then sending out and making those appointments with those handwritten notes and emails. Again, we're wanting to do those types of work that are working on the business rather than just getting ready to get ready. A lot of agents do that, and they're not focused enough and have the discipline to actually carry out and have results with real estate. And it goes back to some of the basics. Dunbar's numbers, I'm looking at your 150 list and deciding, what are you going to do with them? How are you going to do it? And when are you going to do it? And when you come up with those things and you actually build a plan, and then have somebody hold you accountable to that plan, you'll have great success. In fact, you may produce even more than what I was able to do in my first couple years. So with that, I'll let you guys go. I'm sorry I went over a bit tonight, and we'll catch you next Monday, same time, same place, on conference call number 2.